Blog Talk Radio.
A year ago, my life had collapsed around me. I'd worked myself into exhaustion. My father died suddenly, and my relationships were in turmoil. Little did I know at the time, out of my greatest despair was to come the greatest gift.
Good morning. Today is Tuesday, November the 4th, 2014, and you are tuned into Step Into Your Power with Deanna. I am your host, Deanna Shron Huff. On today's radio segment, we're going to be talking about an issue that is close to my heart, and that is domestic violence. According to the Department of Justice's website, domestic violence is defined as a pattern of abusive behavior in any relationship that is used by one partner to gain or maintain power or control over another partner. Domestic violence, it goes on to say, can be physical, sexual, emotional, economic, or psychological actions or threats of actions that influence another person. I asked Vicky Ashby and Olivia Ashby to join me this morning to shed some serious light and awareness on the subject. Vicky and Olivia are sisters. They are also both domestic violence survivors. They founded a publication called Box Cutter Magazine to bring awareness, hope, help, and resources for fellow survivors as well as for those currently involved in domestic violence situations. They are family to me. I support their efforts, and I am pleased to introduce them to you. Good morning, Vicky. Good morning, Olivia.
Good morning. How are you? Well, Sissy couldn't be with us this morning, but I'm here. We're both here in spirit. She's here in spirit. She couldn't make it this morning.
Okay, well, I love you, Olivia. That's my girl. So how are you this morning?
I'm doing very well. Blessed to see the sun this morning, as always, and just even more excited to just to be here for another day. It's just a wonderful feeling. Anytime you wake up in the morning, always important to remember that someone else didn't. So regardless of our gripes, just embrace it.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And the fact that time has gone back and we have more time, it's bright and early at 6 o'clock. So for someone such as myself who does my power run, I can actually run and it's not dark. And I can be safe and I can get it in. So, yay. So we're going to go ahead and get into the meat of this morning's show. How do you step into your power as it relates to domestic violence awareness?
Well, I find myself stepping into my power by just talking, really. There's no other way to explain it for me. And I'm sure my sister would agree if she was here as well, but just talking about domestic violence, you know, making it a conversation piece, you know, with our children, especially our middle school and high school age youngsters. So just talking about it is when I step into my power, just asking people how they feel, what is their opinion about domestic violence awareness, and I'm always amazed at the responses that I get.
You know, when I was doing my research, there were some sources that only said that domestic violence was something that's in the home, but it's not. It's beyond that. You know, it's domestic violence takes place in dating relationships, even between teenagers, between life partners that are not living together. So it does not only happen within the home, and so that's something, you know, it's escalated. It's really an epidemic. Domestic violence has no color, It has no preference of location. You know, it's real and it's deep and it's everywhere. And of course, we want to help to bring it to an end, right?
That's right. That's right. That is my prayer. If we could just make it end and find a way to break the cycle and break the silence, that would do just so many wonders.
Now, what exactly caused you to become a champion and a voice for domestic violence awareness?
One, because I think I can identify with both sides of the role of defense. I can identify with the individual that's the victim because I was a victim. I will never keep saying that, you know, I hate the word victim. You know, it's a word that's so weak, but that's just what we are, you know, once we get through, you know, our domestic abusive situation. But we don't remain victims. So I speak out on someone that is a victor. You know, you're not just survivor. You know, you're victorious. You won the fight. The fight is not the fight in the home, the physical fight, but the fight is the fight of the mind and the fight of the body and the fight of self-esteem and the fight of getting self-respect back and feeling yourself worth back. You have things that we go through to that push us through those things that when we're healing, that is hard. That's a struggle in itself. You know, trying to overcome the damage that had already been done. And then I can identify with the people that say it would never happen to me because I was one of those people. You know, I would sit and I would listen to other persons that were in an abusive relationship, and I would be judgmental. You know, I would say, well, wow, if that was me, I would never do that. You know, I would never take it, you know, until I was on the other side of it. And it's not. If it was as easy as people walking away, then we probably wouldn't have as many occurrences as we do have on a daily basis. Because this happens every day, you know. And it's not easy to just get up and walk away, especially if you have children. Because you know, I had children going through my situation. So not only are you worried about your safety, you worry about the safety of your children as well. So I try to. Relate to both sides, and I try to educate for what I know from my experience to both sides, to the victim that can become strong, you know, as long as she has someone that can support her and be non-judgmental, and to those that are judgmental and say, well, you know, this was me, you know, I would have did this or I would have did that, or, you know, or she or he is stupid for staying, or why would you stay? And so I kind of try to talk to both sides, the victim and those that can be judgmental on the situation.
It's interesting that you say not to be judgmental because there was a situation I remember years ago where a friend beaten up really bad to the point where there was blood all over her cream sweater, and the next day, she was sitting on his lap, and I was completely baffled. I could not understand how, with still a face that's, you know, beginning to heal, or really hasn't even started the healing process, your face is still busted up, but you're sitting on the lap of the person that just yesterday morning, you know, beat you down, and I'm getting angry. You're sitting there like you're still in love and nothing has happened. And I'm saying to myself, what in the world? How could you do that? How could you be so crazy? This man just hurt you really bad. You know, I just could not understand. And I was angry for a very long time. And then I had to pray and just ask God to help me to get over that and to be able to forgive that person for hurting someone who I love so dearly, you know. And it took a while. And, you know, like you said, you no longer become judgmental because you don't know what was going on in their mind, and you don't know how they was processing things, and, you know, perhaps they were confused and so forth. But that's really a good point. It's not to be judgmental, but to be supportive.
Right.
And to be there.
It's very
important
to be supportive, regardless of what the situation is. And I think sometimes we just forget that we have to take our own personal feelings out of it. And it's so hard, you know, because we're human. You know, a lot of times we react to what we see. You know, and a lot of times we say things without thinking first, you know, and sometimes words, once you say things, some words you say you can't take back. So it's just important, and we try to get people to understand that if someone does come to you and they cry out for help, please don't. That's really not the time to embark your own personal feelings and views. You know, just get that person some help. Even if you can't help them yourself, you know, take them to someone that you know or you feel can help them in that situation. And then just be there with that person and just help, just be there to support that person, you know, through that hard time, because it is definitely, it's a hard time. And you can never put a time cap on how long it would take an individual to heal or regain their self-worth or self-identity from this situation, because everybody's time frame is different. It took me at least 5 or 6 years, and I would still say, I still have time. You know, I'm still there at times, you know, where I can be emotional at times if I drive past a certain place, you know, where I can, you know, will spark a memory of something that might have happened, or listen to a certain song that had probably been playing when me and my partner at the time were arguing, and it could spark up a memory. So you're never completely healed from it, you know, but we're able to take that pain and turn it into something something better, something good.
Now, you said that you were in this situation for roughly five or six years. At what point did you begin to recognize the pattern or the signs that, you know, that this was domestic violence?
I recognized it really when someone pointed it out to me, you know. I just, you know, for a while I just walked around oblivious, as though, okay, yeah, partly of it I blamed a lot of myself, like maybe I wasn't doing the right thing, or maybe I had brought it on to myself, you know. But it took someone else to bring it to my attention that this was what I was involved in, you know, this was not healthy. You know, and I didn't know who the individual was, you know, and through that individual, through the last occurrence of the event that took place for me, that individual made sure that I was okay at the end, you know. And I still managed to keep in contact with this individual, and she's an older lady, but I thank God for her. I think that she was my angel sent to me at a very dark, dark time of the things that I went through, you know, with that individual. I did go through, you know, being hit with a belt several times throughout the day, and I went through, you know, being urinated on, and I was forced to have intercourse, you know. There was one occasion where I was forced to have intercourse, and his friends were there to watch for his mere amusement. Cigarette burns. I still carry those scars, you know. And it wasn't until the last incident where she heard me hollering and screaming, and I just swore that on that night, death had to be better than living in the hell that I was living in. And when he was finish with what he was doing, to find her way into my home. This is when she saw him flee the incident. So apparently she was the one that called the police, and he heard the sirens and he left, and she came in the home, and she was there to help me get through. And it was then at that moment when she told me that she had been through it, you know, before. But in her time frame, you know, it was something that wasn't spoken of in the home. You know, what goes on in the home stays in the home, and that was her time. That was during her time when she was married. But she said that, you know, whenever she had an opportunity, she would never let anyone else go through what she went through. So I thank God for her. I always wish her well. She's in a nursing home right now. So I tend to, on a daily basis, check on her. I tend on a daily basis to check on her to see how she's doing, you know. But I love her dearly, you know. And she's like a dear piece of me. And when I look at her, just that other piece of strength, you know, I get comes from her. So I just wish a lot of people could have opportunities to find, go have those angels that can just show up to help.
Right. Wow, that's amazing. At what point, you know, after the revelation and her just really breaking down what this was and that she didn't have to say, did you immediately leave? Or what was the process like for you getting out of the situation?
Well, he fled. So, you know, I didn't have to embark on coming back home, but I still carried that. I didn't have to embark on coming back home to seeing him again, but that fear was still there, you know. Later on down the line, when she walked me through what I needed to do, it was found out that he did have a record of doing this, you know, in a whole other state. So he was arrested, but not here in the state. He was arrested and expedited back to where he was from. So I haven't seen him in years, you know. But I don't know what would have happened if that individual had not, you know, that marvelous woman had not intervened, you know, and just took the guts and said, you know what, I'm not worrying about what people think at this time, or I'm not worrying about me being called a nosy neighbor. I thank God for the nosy neighbor, you know.
Wow. Now, when exactly did you, as well as Olivia, get the idea, the inspiration to create Box Cutter?
It really came from what a counselor had shared with me and Olivia went through as well as journaling. You know, being able to write and being able to talk about tragic things that happen is a form of therapy and it's a form of relief. So with me and her talking, and then we found ourselves talking about different things on the job, and you know how we get together in the break room and we talk about things. Someone can bring up one topic, and it makes a whole discussion during the whole entire break time. So we said, well, you know what, this could be it. This could be something that we could do. It's a whole different look other than what we normally see, because you really don't see a lot of circulations on domestic violence unless you go to a shop to pick up something, you know. So we wanted to do something where we wanted to connect with other survivors, and this was our way to connect with other survivors through this publication, through allowing survivors to come to a place and sit with people that have no judgment and still have love and want to show love and want to help them get their story out in the hopes of helping someone that could be sitting in a beauty salon or could be sitting in traffic or they could walk past on a newsstand and say, you know, this story that this young lady just told, or gentleman, because, you know, we ran into a couple of men that have gone through abusive relationships. This, you know, what they're reading, it will inspire them. It could be a call of action to help someone else or even to get help themselves if they're suffering in silence.
Okay. And how often does it come out, and where can people find it and purchase it?
It's a quarterly magazine, and you can find it on our website, www.bxcmagazine.com. That's where you can subscribe and get your copy of our magazine.
Excellent. Now, you and Olivia, as well as the Box Cutter family, have been quite busy over the last year that you and I have been sister friends. Tell our listening audience some of the opportunities that you all have had to spread the message and to be involved in supporting those who are going through domestic violence situations, and just, you know, again, getting the word out about what you all are doing is to bring help and hope to the community.
Merely we've had little small workshops. We've met up with other different communities and other different ambassadors in the community that are all for spreading love and stopping violence as a whole, especially joining with you, Fiona. You know, we've seen you out there doing your thing with the bullying. And I really think bullying and domestic violence awareness goes hand in hand. It really does. And we've done a segment on Cox Channel 11 with Trevor Lucas not too long ago on this very same topic. So you can probably find that episode with him. And we've also been on InLive and in radio up in Richmond on his blog, and we've been talking about it as well. So we just did an interview a couple weeks ago on KISS FM 92.1 regarding this very same issue as well. So to pull it all together, you know, we're getting ready to have an event at Palm Gardens. It's a red carpet event. This Saturday, November the 8th, starting at 7 p.m., it's an all-black attire event that we're going to be having to pull all these people together that we've been seeing over the year and to just bring awareness to domestic violence awareness. And we're also, we have some survivors that we have been working with that have blessed us with their stories that are coming out. And we're just going to just be family for one night under one roof. You know, regardless of whether we share a last name or not, we're still family. And we're just going to have a good time. We're going to celebrate living life without fear, because that's what it's all about.
I like that, living life without fear. What advice would you give to someone who's currently going through a domestic violence situation to help them to get through and to get past and become that victor that you mentioned earlier?
If you're at a point where you feel like there's got to be a better way, you're at the point of where you need to look for help. If you're at a point where you have lost yourself and you just can't find your way back, you're at a point to where you need to reach out to someone. You know, everyone deserves to be in healthy relationships. You know, and everybody, we're here to be loved on. We're not here to be treated as someone's toy or someone's prize for amusement. You know, everyone deserves to have a great relationship. There's no perfect relationship out there, but everybody deserves to have a healthy, inspiring relationship. So for, you know, if you are listening to this this segment and you are going through something, if you're tired of crying, if you're tired of being scared, you know, if you're tired of running, it's time for you to run to someone that can help you. And that's the best advice that I could give.
Well, that is perfect advice. And there was a young lady who I befriended on a work situation. And normally when I would come in, you know, she'd be smiling, and I call her, you know, Sunshine. So when I come in, good morning, Sunshine, and she smiles. And, she, you know, she was just that person who you look forward to seeing in the morning because you know they were going to give you an extra boost. I mean, you're going to be happy anyway because you're blessed to have employment, but just give you an extra boost. And so over a period of time, that smile turned to a frown, and I pulled her to the side one day because, you know, she is much younger than me and she's also a single mom, and I asked her what was going on because I saw tears beginning to well in her eyes, and she said that, you know, she had been going through a domestic violence situation and it was with the person whom she was living with, and that it had started out from the beginning of their relationship, and over a time period of 6 months, it had gotten even worse. And I, you know, I encouraged her, and I even, you know, gave her you and Olivia's information, and, you know, I checked up on her, but she didn't follow up. And, you know, because I've grown in understanding that everybody has to move in their time, I would just, you know, continue to pray for her and, you know, just check on her periodically. But it just hurt my heart because she would be looking through the glass doors to see if she saw him, or if the telephone rang at the front desk, she would get someone else to answer it because perhaps it was him coming up, it was him calling, or she there would be times where he would come up to the job and be causing a ruckus, which almost cost her her job. And uh-huh. I was recently told that she's now pregnant by him. And you know, and she's young. She's in her early 20s, and she uh-huh. already has two children. And you know, all you can do is just love on them, encourage them, and uh-huh. just hope that they will get tired of being sick and tired of the situation. Uh-huh. And sometimes even, you know, take that drastic measure of physically removing yourself from even the state, because that's something that the father of her children had suggested, but she wasn't ready to make that move. So, you know, I just hope, and Lakeisha, if you're out there, that you're doing well. I will call and check on you, because it's been it's been a little bit, but you know, for uh-huh. anyone who's going through, you know, I just really want to say that you know people love you, you know, right? People love you, and that they want the best for you. And as you said, Vicky, you know, everyone deserves to have and be in a healthy relationship.
Right. That's right. That's right. Everyone deserves it, regardless of who you are, regardless of your past, you know, regardless of anything, any situation, everybody deserves to be in a healthy relationship. Everybody, you know, regardless of color, race, gender, age, it doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter what you've done, you know, what you want to do. It doesn't matter. You know, that's what we're here for, you know. So, again, you know, like you said, if you're just sick and tired of just being sick and tired, and if you're tired of looking at yourself in the mirror and you don't even recognize who you are anymore through covering up bruises and trying to hide scars and, you know, trying to live a double life, and if you run out of lies to cover up what's going on, it's time to get help. It's time to get help.
Now, are there any books or any types of motivational messages that you listen to or had listened to that would be beneficial to someone who is going through?
Well, you know, it just goes back to the old saying, you know, do unto others. And a young lady mentioned that the other day when we were at an empowerment seminar over at Norfolk State. To just, if you can just simply hold on to do unto others as you would have others do unto you. You know, if you could just hold on to that, that speaks volume as to how you treat others and how you want to be treated. This is one of the problems that I hold on to dearly, and this is what I often, you know, teach my own children.
Yeah, and just briefly, because both, well, myself as well as you and Olivia were at Catherine Stanton's event that was at Norfolk State for her Be Silent No More movement.
Uh-huh.
And one of the topics that was addressed and that, you know, I just want you to quickly shed some light on is domestic violence when it comes.
Could you repeat that question one more time, Fiona? I'm sorry.
Well, you know what? We're actually ran out of time. This was a great conversation.
We
should bring you back on another time, just because it's so much that we need to still to talk about, because this is a very important issue for you and I, the Box Cutter family. So, thank you, Vicky, for being on the line. Olivia, once again, I love you, and
yes,
I want to thank everyone for tuning in to Step Into Your Power with Fiona. Again, I am your host, Fiona Sharon Huff. Have a blessed Tuesday and remainder of your week. Please love yourself, get help, and continue to be a powerhouse. Have a blessed day.
Bye, everybody. Have a good day.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network.